Well, I want to begin this morning by asking you a question, and that question is, how do you understand the normal Christian life? So is Christian living all about having things working out well for you? Is Christian living all about you overcoming? Is Christian living all about victorious living, having conquered the acts of sin in your life and leading a victorious life that glorifies God in everything? Watchman Nee, who's a bloke who thought he knew about this sort of stuff, wrote a book called The Normal Christian Life. And in it he says, if we live by in the Spirit, if we walk by faith in the risen Christ, we can truly stand aside while the Spirit gains new victories over the flesh every day. Is that your experience? Are you converted? Can you stand aside and allow God's Spirit just to conquer the sin in your life? Is Watchman Nee right? I think this passage shows that he's wrong. Let's say in your quiet times this coming week, you read about the wonder of prayer, and you're convicted of the need to pray more. How easy will it be for you to pray? Will you be able to pray regularly? Will you be able to pray about all the things that God's concerned about? You will expect your prayer life to be a struggle, wouldn't you? So how's that? We know what God likes. We're convinced that prayer is a good thing to be doing. We are filled with grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it hard for us to do what God wants us to be doing? And it's not just with our prayer life. In fact, we face this sort of struggle in all parts of our lives as Christians. We struggle to do what God wants, and we struggle to avoid doing what God doesn't want. Well, the passage that we have this morning deals with the struggle of Christian living. And can I suggest to you, it's a really good passage to know. But can I suggest to you also that the great danger of this passage is that it's misunderstood. Why is it good for us to know? Well, sometimes people talk about their Christian lives as one continuous victory after another, as if just after fighting one battle they can get off and fight another one. And you and I wonder why that's not our experience. And we wonder if we're really converted and why, whether we have we really got everything God has to offer. Have we missed out on something? Now, having said that, can I point out to you that out of Romans, which has plenty of hard passages to understand, this is one of the harder passages to understand. It's a passage that should leave us with questions. And there are different views about what this passage is saying. Some people think that this passage is primarily talking about the struggle that you might have before you're converted with sin. The struggle you have with sin before you convert is probably a better way to put that. Some people think it's talking about the sort of struggle that people who are immersed in the Old Testament might have the sort of the Old Testament Jewish life, the struggle that that would have made. Some people think Paul's just talking about his own experience, and some people think that this is about the normal Christian life. Now, I've probably nailed my colours to the mast already. I think this passage is talking about the normal Christian life. So I'm going to pray. We're going to dive into the passage, and hopefully I can show you why I think that's talking about the normal Christian life. Then I want to ask, how does this apply to us today? Let's pray, shall we? Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the privilege it is to be able to read it in a language that is that we can understand mostly. We can sit down and discuss it. We've got copies in our hands. And Lord, there's many distractions in our lives. And we pray, Lord God, that you'll put those distractions aside so that we might be able to concentrate on your word and not just have it as an intellectual exercise, but for us to think about how it applies to our lives. And we ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. Well, there's no doubt that this passage is talking about a struggle in sin, with sin. But the question that is often needed to be asked about it is, who is the person struggling? Now, when you open the probably good to have your passage open, most of it's on page 1118. who is the passage referring to? Here are some of the options, and they relate to the things I've just said. I'm going to look at just two of them, primarily. Some people think it was about Paul's personal story before he was converted. And the other one is people who think it's about the position for people in the Old Testament. And the third one is Paul after he was converted. And the fourth one, the normal Christian life and Paul's using himself as an example. There's four possible reasons that are certainly the four that I'm going to mention. There's others that people have. Now, I do think that the last perspective, the normal Christian life, is the best eye that fits this passage, the best person that the passage is talking about. Paul is not just describing his own battle. I think that Paul's describing the battle that all people face as they seek to live as God's people. Here's a few reasons why I think he's describing the normal Christian life. Well, firstly, Paul overwhelmingly uses the word I, but he's using the word I in the present tense. He's writing about himself or about a struggle that he has as a follower of Jesus, not the struggle that he had before he was converted with sin. In fact, before he was converted, he didn't care about sin. Before he's converted, he just lived the way he wanted to. He didn't know about sin. And we've seen him talk about that already. Before he received God's grace, there was no struggle against sin in his life. That's why in verse 24, Paul uses some words you may have heard plenty of times. He says, "What a wretched man am I." He does not say, "What a wretched man I was before I received grace." You see, Paul, as a spirit-filled believer, he describes the ongoing struggle that he has with sin. In fact, even more as a spirit-filled believer, because before he was a believer, he didn't care about sin, so there was no struggle with sin. And as a spirit-filled believer, he says, "What a wretched man am I?" And that is a wretched thing, to know grace and to struggle with sin. Prior to grace, who cares about sin? The second reason why I think this passage is referring to the normal Christian life is that Paul writes about it as a Christian. The person the I is converted. How do I know that? Verse 22 says, they delight in God's law. They want to keep God's law, and they recognize God's law as a good thing to do, to keep. Non-Christians don't think God's law is a good thing to keep, nor do they desire to keep it. The desire to keep God's good and perfect law is how Romans actually describes the normal Christian life. Non-Christians find no delight in keeping God's law. Look, Romans 8, so next chapter, verse 5 and 6. The person who has the Spirit is one who delights in God's law. So the person Paul is referring to in this passage from verses 13 through to verse 25 is someone who delights in God's law, so they must be someone who's a Christian. That's the point I'm making. The third reason why I think this points towards the normal Christian life, I think Paul is describing more than just the struggle that he has with sin, because what he talks about here reflects the struggle that all of the New Testament speaks about. All of God's Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, presents us with a struggle for God's people to be obedient to God's good, perfect and holy law. Just pick the New Testament. If, because you've got the Spirit, you don't have a problem with sin, then why is the New Testament written to Christians? It's written to them because they do have the Spirit, and they struggle, which is what the passage talks about. Let's say it again. I think the passage, the person in this passage, the one that Paul is describing, is someone who reflects Paul's own experience, but is normal for every Christian. It is the normal Christian life. Now, as I said before, this is not always an easy passage to understand. There are other points of view, and you might have them or have come across them or want to know them. If you want to know why people think it's talking about the life before you're a Christian, then please feel free to speak to us later. What's the passage saying to people? What is the passage saying that your life as a Christian will be like? Well, first and foremost, this passage is telling us that our life as Christians is going to have an ongoing battle against sin. Verse 15, I do what I do not want to do, and I do not do what I do want to do, and what I hate I do. Now, I think I got that right, and if I didn't, read it. That's the battle. As Romans has said so far, this gospel of grace does mean the death of sin. And grace means that sin no longer brings the curse of death on your life. But you misunderstand the gospel of grace if you think the normal Christian life means that because of grace, sin has no impact on your life. It doesn't bring the curse of death, but it does impact your life. So Romans 6 verse 18 is often quoted to prove the point that sin no longer should impact your life. Let me read it. Romans 6 verse 18, it says, you have been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness. That's good news, isn't it? When you read it just by itself, it seems to be saying that under grace, we've been set free from sin and we're not slaves to righteousness. But let's read the verse either side, if I can read it. Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to the righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity, and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them as slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. And here's my point. If grace means that sin has no ability to impact your life, then why does Paul need to urge Christians to offer their lives to the service of God? Wouldn't it happen naturally as a logical consequence of grace? But it doesn't. And so Paul has to urge God's people to offer themselves to God's service. Now, he sort of says the same earlier on in chapter 6 in verse 12 and 13. So, rather than talking about his pre-Christian experience, I think this passage is highlighting the struggle that Christians have, and it's a struggle between your actions and your intentions. That's the fight of faith. We live under grace, and at the same time, we're living in a world which is impacted by sin, and there's that constant fight that goes on in putting our faith in Jesus Christ. As it says in verse 16, the Christian under grace knows that God's law is good, and they want to put God's law into practice because they know it honours God, a God who's already gifted them eternal life, but guess what? They don't do it. In fact, because of their sinful nature, they often break what they know God doesn't want them to break. Romans 8 verse 22, if I could just sneak peek for the couple of weeks ahead, verse 22 talks of the battle of creation groaning. And it talks about the Spirit being the first fruit. But that Spirit never presents us, the passage never presents us that having the Holy Spirit means that we're victorious over sin immediately. In eternity we are. What does chapter 8 verse 22 say? The Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit is not cheering alongside us in our victories. It is a battle, but it is one, as we'll see, that we're not alone in. And again, the battle is presented in chapter 7, verse 21 and 22. in verse 21, when I want to do good, evil is right there. In verse 22, Paul says that in his inner being he delights in God's law, but at the same time there is another law at work within him. Here's the perspective of someone converted doing battle with the struggle against sin. So the first thing that this passage says is that we need to be in a battle against sin. It's an ongoing battle. And it also tells us that it is a wearing battle. There's always a constant gap between our intentions and our actions. You see, Romans 7 gives us no perspective that the Christian life is easy. It doesn't even give us a perspective that the Christian life is victorious immediately. It does help us understand the battle that we have against sin, a battle which will drive us to our knees in despair, a battle which will reinforce our complete dependence on grace. Where sin abounds, grace superabounds. I think verse 24 expresses some of the weariness of the Christian battle against sin, but it looks forward to a great hope in Jesus. Verse 24, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And the answer, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, to get exact. You see, the normal Christian life is a battle against sin. But it is a battle with hope. It is not a hopeless battle. Grace means that sin will never defeat us. Grace means that the curse of sin is gone. Death does not reign. You and I, because of grace, have been gifted eternal life. That is the most wonderful news. You see, that rescue comes not through law-keeping or works, but that rescue comes through grace. Well, let us do some thinking about what this passage is saying to us, into our Christian lives. Let me ask a question, a rhetorical one. It's probably easier. What is your experience in Christian living like? Do you have an ongoing struggle with sin? Do you struggle with the same sins that you have been struggling with for years? Have you ever thought, well, I thought I was a Christian, but I'm not sure since I still struggle with the same things I was struggling with so long ago? And then we read that we've died to sin and we feel discouraged. Well, remember when Romans speaks of us dying to sin, it talks about the curse of death that sin brings, but it still says we need to do battle against sin in our life, not to earn your salvation, but because you've been saved. So the normal Christian life is one of civil war. On one side, you have wholeheartedly committed to love God and to love his law, to do his will. But on the other side of your life, there is your sinful nature which runs riot in your life. Unfortunately, sometimes people look at Romans 7 and they say, well, Romans 7 is talking about the discouraged, defeated Christian. Yes, they have a struggle. But if you go to Romans 8, you'll see the victorious Christian, for they have the Spirit-filled life. Now, I think that thinking is really wrong. Next week we're going to be starting to look at Romans 8, so I won't talk about it all there. But Christians have the Holy Spirit. All Christians have the Holy Spirit. And you receive the Spirit when you are converted. And here is Paul saying that he does battle with sin and he is a Spirit-filled Christian. You see, Spirit-filled Christians still do battle with sin. That idea that the Romans 7 defeated and the Romans 8 victorious Christian are two different people, is wrong. Now we're going to address some of that in Romans 8. There's some really encouraging things in this passage. as we reflect on our own lives, your own life, my own life. The process of sanctification, that is your process of becoming more obedient to what God wants. It's an ongoing thing, isn't it? There's no instant sanctification. I don't know of anyone who was not converted yesterday, was converted this morning, and perfectly godly by the afternoon. I don't know of anyone who doesn't have a battle against sin in their lives. The Bible does not speak of instant sanctification. Beware of those that teach that you can have victory over this sin in your life instantly, in the here and now, perfectly. So where to from here? What should we do? Are we defeated? No, of course not. Our victory does lie in grace. But until you meet God in heaven, for the term of your natural life, keep up your struggle against sin. Do not become complacent with sin. Face the reality of sin in your world and keep resisting it. How might you do that? Identify it. Read God's word. Let God's word identify it. Avoid it. Flee it. And as you struggle to put into practice godly living, do not be defeated when you fail yet again. Get up, dust yourself off, and remember grace. If you feel discouraged in your Christian living, perfectly timed, learn Hebrews 10. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good works. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's what church is about. That's what gathering together around God's word in your families is about, in your Bible studies is about. Allowing God's word to grow you and encourage you in your battle against sin. Romans 8 verse 23 tells us we'll do that for the term of our natural lives, but we'll come across that in the next chapter, so I won't say much about that now. But Romans 8 also says that we're not doing battle alone. Isn't that wonderful news? Again, we're going to come across that in the next chapter. Our battle against sin is not something that we've battled. We've already talked about gathering together, but God has given us his spirit, and we're going to look at that later. Romans 7:25 says that you have been rescued, even though you do battle for the term of your natural life. You are on the winning side. So have confidence in God's good laws and rest in his unfathomable grace, for he has gifted us eternal life. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we can think about the litany of sin in our lives. Some of it's been there for a long time, and all of it we struggle with. And sometimes we're defeated and we feel discouraged. Lord, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for Romans 7 that reminds us of the great hope we have. We thank you, Lord God, that as wretched people, we have Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that you will help us to continue to battle the sin in our lives, not because we're earning our salvation, but we want to glorify our Saviour. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to do that and encourage one another to do that, all the more as we see the day approaching. And Lord, as we see next week, we thank you that we are not in this battle alone. Not only do we have each other, we have your Spirit. May we as your people seek to put to death the sin in our lives. We thank you that you have freed us from the curse of sin already. And we ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.